Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Zayin, Chapter 37. This perek is one of the four very powerful visions in the Sefer that are termed Maros Elokim, visions of Hashem. The four are the Masa Merkava in Perek Aleph, the travels of Yechezkel to Yishlayim to see the Shechina leaving in Prakim Ches to Yod Aleph, 8 to 11, this perek, Lamed Zayin 37, with the Atzmos Yveh Shos, the dry bones that come back to life, and finally, Prakim Mem through Mem Ches 40 to 48, which are a description of the third Beis HaMikdash. Each of these prakim begin with a derivation of the phrase, Haisa Alai Yad Hashem, that the hand of Hashem was on me, meaning it was an extremely powerful nevuah. Only our perek does not use the term Maros Elokim, a vision of Hashem, in its initial description. Our perek contains within it two parts. The first part is the nevuah where Hashem tells Yechezkel to bring a valley full of bones back to life and the subsequent rejuvenation of those bones. The second part deals with the reunification of the two kingdoms, Yehuda and Yisrael, under Melech HaMashiach. The first nevuah is discussed at length in the Gemara in Sanhedrin 92b, Perek Chelek. The Gemara debates whether this perek actually happened or was it just a vision. The first position in the Gemara is that it is a mashal, and nothing can be learned from it practically regarding Tachiyas HaMesim, the revival of the dead at the end of days. The Gemara then cites a few opinions that say that it actually happened. Rabbi Eliezer said, the dead people whom Yechezkel revived stood up, praised Hashem, and then died again. Rabbi Eliezer, son of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, said that these revived bones went to Israel, married, and had children. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beitera stood up and said, I am among their descendants, and these are the tefillin that my grandfather left me from them as an inheritance. Who were these bones? Again, it's a machlokes. Rav, who was quoted by Rashi in our perek, says they were the descendants of Ephraim who tried to leave Egypt based on a miscalculation of time and were killed on their way to Israel. Shmuel said that these were individuals who denied the resurrection of the dead. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba said these people had lost all residue of mitzvos and even in their lives were compared to dry bones. Rabbi Yitzchak Napaha says that they were the people who etched Avodah Zarah on the walls of the Beis HaMikdash in Perek Ches, chapter 8. And finally, Rabbi Yochanan says these were from the dead of the Dura Valley, young exiles who were killed by the Chaldeans whose bodies were disgraced. If it is unclear whether this happened or not, or even how long the people lived, or what its implications were for the future, why was it said? The Malbim explains that this mashal was here to give hope. As part of our tradition, we know that Hashem will bring the dead who are worthy back to life during Tchiyas HaMesim. The way Tchiyas HaMesim is described is with a comparison to a seed. When a seed is planted, it completely decomposes, and then it starts to grow from a small element of life that is still left in the seed and the soil. Similarly, when a person dies and is buried, their bodies decompose, which rids them of the sin of Adam HaRishon. What remains of them is a small spark of life in the bone known as the luz bone, and their neshama remains in Gan Eden. When Hashem does Tchiyas HaMesim, revival of the dead, He will reconstruct the body from that small element of life and reinfuse the body with the neshama. In our perek, the bones have not been buried, nor have they decomposed, nor do they even have within them a spark of life that is a luz bone. They are completely dry bones scattered in the valley. Nonetheless, Hashem can even bring those bones, which are so hopeless, back to life. If He can do that, He can revive the Jewish people in Galus. In our generation, we can relate to this image of a pile of bones coming back to life. How can we forget the images of Holocaust survivors after the war? The story of our people in Israel and throughout this world is the story of those dry bones who suffered so much torture and trauma coming back to life. Like it says in the Gemara, the revived bones went to Israel, married, and had children. I, the grandchild of Holocaust survivors, feel Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra when he stood up and said, I am among their descendants, and this is the legacy that my grandfather left me from them as an inheritance. As we read this perek, whether it is a mashal or it happened, let us remember that there was always hope for everyone to be revived, no matter how dried out we may feel. When did this nevuah take place? According to Shira Shirim Rabba, this happened on Yom Kippur. That day, Nebuchadnezzar demanded that everyone bow down to a large idol that was a testimony to his power over all of earth. Everyone agreed to bow down except for three individuals, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They risked their lives and were thrown into a furnace. There was a miracle and they were saved. A wind began to blow which toppled the statue, and this wind continued to the valley where Yechezkel stood and revived the dead there. The pure sacrifice of Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah led to hope for the whole nation. Why was Yechezkel the one who merited this incredible act? In Tana Dabei Eliyahu Rabbah, it says that Yechezkel completely identified with his people. He felt connected to them at all times and would do anything for them. Because of his great devotion, Hashem allowed him to be the vehicle to bring the people back to life. Let us begin learning the beautiful words of the Perek. We have already discussed that in Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Yechezkel gets a strong nevuah that takes him to a valley with a vast number of completely dry bones scattered everywhere. Hashem takes him around the perimeter of the valley, as the Mitzvah David explains, because he is a Kohen and is forbidden to walk amongst the bones. Hashem then asks him in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Hasechiena ha'atamos ha'ela? Can these bones live? The Mitzvah David explains that Hashem is asking Yechezkel, if these bones don't meet the criteria for Tzchiyas HaMesim, how can they be revived? Yechezkel replies, Atayodata, you know. Yechezkel acknowledged that restoring life is a miracle only given to Hashem. Hashem tells Yechezkel to talk to the dry bones and that there will be three stages of this resurrection. Because they are completely dried out, Pasuk Hey, verse 5, first Hashem, Mevivachem Ruach V'chiyisem. Hashem will make enter into you a breath, a spirit, and you will become animated. Mitzvah David says, with a little ruach, the bones can move into place so that the next stage can happen. They are not alive yet, they are just able to move. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, V'nasati aleichem gidim, v'aleisi aleichem basar, v'karamti aleichem or. And I will lay sinews on you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin. Hashem will rebuild the body with all of its elements. Finally, V'nasati bachem ruach v'chisem, I will put in you the spirit of life, and you will live. Before, the bodies only had enough energy to move. Here, Hashem will bring back the neshama to these bodies so that they can live. This slow process mirrors what will happen in the time of Geula. Yemos HaMashiach will unfurl like the breaking of the dawn, slowly, first with a physical redemption, before there is a complete spiritual redemption. Yechezkel does as he was commanded, and then he started to hear a commotion as the bones started to move into place to form the skeletons, and then the sinews, flesh, and skin covered the bones. But Pasuk Ches, verse 8, V'ruach ein behem, there was no breath in them. That spirit of Hashem had not come yet. Yechezkel, as a human, can direct sinews in the bones, but no person can actually control when life enters a body. That is a power reserved for Hashem. Hashem then tells Yechezkel to say to the breath in Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Me'arba ruchos bo'i haruach, u'fichi b'harugim ha'ela v'yichyu. Come from the four winds, breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Indeed, after Yechezkel gave this nevuah, the wind, which had blown over the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, came into the bodies, and they stood up, a great number of people, Chayil Gadol Ma'od Ma'od, an exceedingly great group, which is interpreted to mean 600,000 people. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Hashem then tells Yechezkel what this miracle represents, and it is not reflective of how Tchiyas HaMesim will happen in the future. Ha'atzamos Ha'ela Kol Beis Yisrael Hema. These bones represent all of the house of Israel. Hinei omrim, behold, they say, Yavshu atzmosenu v'avda tikvasenu, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. Nigzarnu lanu, we are clean cut off. Those in Galus have despaired. Rashi says that these individuals lost hope that they will ever see Geula, or that they will ever be worthy of being revived during Tchiyas HaMesim. The Malbim says that just as the body has a loose bone, a small spark that will bring it back to life with Tchiyas HaMesim, hope is a spark that can bring a living person who has despaired back to life. Hashem tells Yechezkel to promise the Jewish people, Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, Hinei ani fosech es kivrosechem v'aleisi eschem, mikivrosechem ami. Behold, I will open your graves, and I will bring you up from your graves, my nation, ve'evesi eschem al admas Israel, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. This promise is both a metaphor and a commitment for what will really happen. Even those living in Galus will merit Tchiyas HaMesim. The people who were so demoralized would also be renewed emotionally. Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, begins the second nevuah that follows from the first. After the individual people are revived, the nation still needs to be revived as well. This will happen in three stages. First, Mashiach ben Yosef will come and save the Jewish people. Next, Mashiach ben David will lead, and finally, both kingdoms of Yisrael and Yehuda will join together as one kingdom under one king, Mashiach ben David. Hashem told Yechezkel to communicate this nevuah with a physical action, much like he did in the beginning of the Sefer with his symbolic actions. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, Kach lacha etz echad uchsov alav liYehuda ulivnei Yisrael chaverav. Take one stick and write upon it four words, for Yehuda and Bnei Yisrael, its companions. These companions were the Shvatim of Binyamin and Levi, who were part of his kingdom. Ulkach etz echad uchsov alav liYosef etz Ephraim v'chol beis Yisrael chaverav. Then take another stick and write upon it seven words, for Yosef, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions. Ephraim included the 10 tribes. After labeling the two sticks, Pasuk Yitzayin, verse 17, V'karav osam echad al echad l'cha le'etz echad. Join them one to the other, for you into one stick. Then a miracle will happen. V'ayu l'achadim b'yadecha, and they will be as one stick in your hands. When Bnei Yisrael sees the sticks fuse into one, they are going to ask what the meaning of this mashal is. Yechezkel is to tell them that he took the stick of Yosef, which according to the Malbim represents Mashiach ben Yosef, and the stick of Yehuda, which represents Mashiach ben David, and they will become one stick, one nation. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, Yechezkel explains the Nimshal. In the future, the Jewish people will be gathered from their exile and will be brought back to their Israel, their land, where they will become one nation, comprised of 12 Shvatim unified again. Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22, their unity will be overseen by Umelach Echad Yelech Ulam Lemelech. There will be one king, Mashiach ben David, who will be a king for them all. V'lo Yehiyu Od L'Shnei Goyim, and they shall no more be two nations. In the past, there were constant divisions between the Shvatim. First, there were those who supported Shaul and those who supported David. Then, Rechavim and Yeravim split the kingdom of Shlomo into two. In the future, the nation will never again be divided. In addition, they will no longer have idols, nor sin, so that Hashem will save them from the other nations and also from themselves. As we said in the last parak, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23, V'tiharti osam v'hayu li la'am, v'ani ehye lahem lelokim. I, meaning Hashem, will purify them, so they will be for me as a nation, and I will be their God. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24, when the reunion of Hashem and his nation takes place, we will have the leadership that can help us become our best. V'avdi David melech aleihem, v'roa echad yeh l'chulam. And my servant David shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd over them all. Melech HaMashiach is descendant of Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of David, which will lead us both politically and spiritually, as David HaMelech did. With this structure in place, we will keep all the mitzvos and be able to stay in the lands of Israel forever. In addition to being our king and our shepherd, Mashiach will also be our nasi, a prince, forever. Hashem will make us a bris shalom, forever. There will be no more war and we can live with security for all time. And he will increase our numbers and put within us a mikdash that will also last. In Pasuk of Zion, verse 27, we see that our relationship with Hashem will become what Hashem has always wanted for us. V'haya mishkani aleihem, v'hayisi lahem lelokim. My dwelling place also shall be over them, and I will be their God. The Radak notes that in Pasuk Chavav, verse 26, it says Hashem's Mishkan will be within us. And in Pasuk of Zion, verse 27, it tells us that his Mishkan will be over us. The Radak explains that while we will live with Hashem's Shechina, we will be blessed in the future to always have the Yir Shemayim, the awe of heaven, to know that Hashem is our King. Being able to maintain that balance of love and awe is a gift that we will have in the times of Mashiach so that a perfect world can continue. At that time, unlike the Chilul Hashem we heard about in the last parak, the other nations will have a very different impression of Hashem and his people. Pasuk Chav Ches, verse 28, V'yadu ha'goyim ki ani Hashem mekadesh es Yisrael, and the nations shall know that I am Hashem that sanctifies Israel, v'yos mikdashi b'socham li'olam, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever. In this parak, we learned about Yechezkel's nevuah of the dry bones coming back to life in the valley. While it is a machlokes when and where and who it happened to, its core message remains the same. We must never give up hope, and Hashem is always caring for us, not only as individuals, but as a nation. He will give us all the tools we need to live with him forever, and he will be among us as we serve him as one nation under the Melech HaMashiach. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Basri Yosef.